We'll begin tonight's meeting as we turn in the order of service to the opening hymn. Far, far away in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost, who will go salvation storytelling, looking to Jesus, minding not the cost. All power is given unto me. Final verse, we'll ask the Reverend Malcolm Patterson to come to the pulpit and lead us in prayer, one of our missionaries in Kenya. Our brother, the Reverend Patterson, please. Let's really sing it.
Let us bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we are gathered here together this evening in thy great name. Lord, we thank you that thou art the one who has created the heavens and the earth. Lord, you have created the stars and the moon and the sun. And Lord, we know that all things were made by thee. And O Lord, as we come into your presence this evening, we thank thee, Lord, for every blessing that thou hast been pleased to bestow upon us. And we thank you, Lord, most of all tonight for thy salvation that thou hast purchased for us so richly and so freely. And we thank you, Lord, that you have looked down upon us in thy mercy, and thou hast been pleased to redeem us unto thyself. You have been pleased, O Lord, to lift us up from the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And, O Lord, we pray that we would ever be thankful, O Lord, for your blessing to us in redeeming our soul. And, O Lord, we pray that thy kingdom, Lord, indeed would be established in our own lives. We pray that thy kingdom would be established in the lives of others. And, O Lord, we thank thee for that time in our life's experience whenever, Lord, we heard the message of the gospel. Whenever, Lord, that thou didst reveal thyself to us, the sinfulness of our nature and the way that leads to everlasting life. And, O Lord, for this we are eternally thankful. But, O Lord, we know that it is also true that there are millions in this world who have never yet heard the message of the gospel. We thank the Lord that it is freely proclaimed throughout this land. We thank the Lord that it is heralded forth throughout the cities and the towns and the villages of this land. But, O Lord, we know that there are other lands, Lord, that have not been so privileged. And, O Lord, tonight as we have come together to meet in this missionary meeting, Lord, we pray that thou would be pleased to bless, Lord, indeed, the missionary effort of our denomination. We thank you, Lord, that this world is the vineyard. And, Lord, that you have given that commission, Lord, indeed, for us to go forth, Lord, into all the world, to preach the gospel, to make disciples. And, O Lord, we pray that you would grant help to that end. Lord, we know that in this endeavour that we do not labour in our own strength, for we have no strength, but our strength is of thee. And, O Lord, we pray that thou would be pleased to undertake and to bless. And, O Lord, tonight we pray that you would undertake for each one who takes part in the meeting. We pray, Lord, that thou would be pleased to bless, Lord, each work that is represented in the service this evening. And we pray that you'll grant the help of the Holy Spirit to each one who had come, Lord, to address the meeting this evening. And so, Heavenly Father, we just look to thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would be pleased to draw very near to each waiting heart. We pray, Lord, that thou would be pleased to defeat the purposes of Satan. And, O Lord, we pray that you'll draw near, Lord, to each one of us this evening. Be pleased to help the preacher in a special way tonight, as he has the responsibility to deliver your word. We pray, Lord, that your word would have free course this evening. We pray that it would find a special place in each one of our hearts. And, O Lord, we pray that we would take heed to the instruction that thou dost give. And, Lord, to this end we pray for the speaking voice of thy Holy Spirit. And so now, Heavenly Father, we pray that thou would be pleased to continue with us, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Good to have our sister Joanne tonight, Joanne Greer. Joanne, if you wouldn't mind coming up now, we'll make sure you've got a little lapel mic on. We want to welcome you, missionary to Liberia, looking forward to the report that she has to give, which she will give just in a moment. But you see from the programme tonight what's happening, so I'm just going to mention these things and then they will happen, God willing, one after the other. And that'll save me getting up and down. So Joanne will give her report. The Hebron Youth Choir will then participate and sing. It is the plan to bring some youth fellowship members to Uganda in the summertime to do a vocational Bible school. And we have a report tonight from one of our assistant youth leaders, Ryan Moore. So Ryan's going to do that on behalf of the others. And then there's a DVD presentation, which will just come on. I think it'll all explain itself as you listen to it. And then the Hebron Choir will sing. So that's what's happening. First of all, Joanne, and welcome in the Saviour's name.
Well, good evening. I do appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight and to bring a report on the Lord's work in Liberia. I want to start by thanking you all for your prayers and for your support for the work there in Liberia, and for me and for Reverend DiCanio, who labors there also. I've been very encouraged as I've traveled around to churches while I've been home in deputation, and I've been very encouraged by God's people, by their love, by their support, by their prayers, even in the meetings. And I do thank you, those of you who have visited already in your churches, and I am looking forward to visiting a few more before I finish up. I want to just update you tonight on a couple of the aspects of the work in Liberia, concerning which I had already asked for prayer in the meetings, even here in Balmoney a couple of months ago, but in other churches as well, in the meetings there. One of those is to do with the radio station, and most of you will know that the radio station was hit by lightning at the end of October, and many of you have been asking me for an update on what's been happening since, and have we gotten back on air. And the Lord has been good. We were off the air for 3 weeks after that lightning strike. It was a severe strike, and we're thankful no one was injured in it, but there was a lot of damage done to equipment. But we were off the air completely for 3 weeks after that, but we got back on with a small transmitter that we rented from another station. But thankfully, we have now gotten back up to our full strength with the big transmitter. We got the parts sent in from Canada, where that's where the transmitter comes from, and so everything has to be brought from there. And we do thank the Lord that we were able to get back up to our full strength there a few weeks ago. We do appreciate all of your prayers during this time. There's still other things that have been damaged, other equipment that still has to be replaced. So do continue to pray for that aspect of the radio ministry. But also in the past couple of months, God has provided in other ways for the extension, the development of the radio station there in Liberia on the mission compound. And since we started early 2017, we've been praying about the possibility of going 24 hours a day with the radio station. At the beginning, we were just, actually up to a couple months ago, we were going just 18 hours a day from 5 in the morning to 11 at night. But we've been praying that the Lord would open the door for us and provide the means for us to go 24 hours a day. And the Lord has answered that prayer. And there's a supporter in the United States who had offered to pay the extra fuel for those extra 6 hours. And so that has been a great encouragement. And now we're going 24 hours a day. And it is a little bit of extra work because it's an extra 6 hours of broadcasting and programming that has to be arranged and organized. But it does help overall in the work and even just in the timing. Mr. DeCanio was having to get up very early in the morning to start at 5 and then go to bed late at night after he finished at 11 or after the station switched off. And so it's a help even with that. But also it gives us a greater voice, of course, in the area that we can continue broadcasting right throughout the night for those who stay up during the night and work during the night. And that has been an encouragement. Another need in conjunction with that was for a second transmitter, because one transmitter cannot run continually, and so we needed a second one, and that was something we've been praying about as well. And again, the Lord has answered that prayer, and there is a supporter in the States again who has offered to pay for a second transmitter and an even stronger one. So that is now, it's been ordered and it's on its way from Italy, and it's on its way to Liberia. And so the Lord has answered prayer, and we give him the glory for these developments, and do continue to pray for the station, that the Lord will continue to use it and will continue to speak to the hearts of men and women through it and children, and that he will do this for his glory. Another prayer request that I've been mentioning as I've gone around the churches, I've been telling you about the children's work mentioning especially the Vacation Bible School that we have every summer there in Liberia, and mentioning the need for helpers with that. We do have a couple of several young people from the church there in Painesville who help with the Vacation Bible School every summer, and two of them can teach, but there certainly is a need for more teachers. I've mentioned to many of you that in 2017 we had a team out from Ballymena, and they helped, and we were able to have a lot more children that year. We had about 350 to 400 the whole week, and that was a great encouragement. It was also a great challenge, because when we don't have those extra teachers and helpers, we have to reduce the numbers down to about 100, 120. And so I've been mentioning that, and the Lord laid it on the hearts of the Youth Council to organize a team to come out this coming summer, to a team of young people to come and help specifically with that Vacation Bible School. And so that, again, is an answer to prayer. And do pray for the Youth Council as they organize this, and pray that young people will come forward, especially young people who have been already working at home have already had some experience, of course, through that, but those who have already been ministering in their own, perhaps their own home churches, this is an opportunity. Of course, if there are any here tonight, I'll just say this to you. This is an opportunity for you now to minister and to serve the Lord in another place. And so pray that young people will come forward. There are still some places in the team. It'll be a team of 8 people, and we plan to have the VBS at the end of July, beginning of August. So the team will be going, Lord willing, the 22nd of July to the 3rd of August. And so if there's anyone here interested tonight, I've been asked by the Secretary of the Youth Council to make this known. The announcements are up as well on the Facebook page and the Youth Council website. But if there's anyone interested, of course, just speak to your Youth Council representatives or even to me. And the rest of you, do pray. I would ask you to pray. The Lord will bring these, put in the hearts of young people to come and to meet this need. And do pray. Continue praying for me as I finish my deputation meetings. I'll be doing meetings to the end of January, and then, Lord willing, going back to Liberia at the beginning of March. And do pray for me. Continue to pray for me as I prepare to go back. Pray also for Mr. DeCanio as he continues with the work there in Liberia. Pray for the believers in the churches in Painesville and in Riverstead. Pray for all of those who are under the sound of God's word there in Liberia, that they that there will be true conversion among those who are not saved, and that there would be a maturing and a strengthening, a building up of believers for those who already know the Lord. Pray again for others to come and to help in the work there. And again, that is the greatest need, whether it is a week or a couple of weeks in the summer, as Youth Council are hoping to do, but especially long-term. Pray the Lord will send others to come and to help us in that work. There are great needs. There is a great open door. It is the Lord's work, though, and he must call those whom he would choose and whom he would equip to come and to serve there in Liberia. I do thank you for your prayers and for your support, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve there, for the privilege of being one who is sent out by you folks and has the privilege of going to Liberia to take part in the work of the Lord there. Thank you.
I thought it was bad enough standing down there, but it seems to get worse as you get higher up here. I'd like to thank the Reverend Park for the opportunity to come tonight. I'm not going to thank Samuel because he conscripted me into it. He just more or less said, Ryan, by the way, you're speaking at the Missionary Weekend. So I will remember you, Samuel. Thank you for that. But it is a joy to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for the opportunity that even I have to come and to share an insight of why it is that we've decided to be part of the team that, God willing, is going to Uganda. And to see if copying what Samuel said last night, I took all his notes last night and was very tempted just to start with point 4 and go to 3-1, but I thought, well, you might catch on to that. So to see if repeating what Samuel has said, I'm going to look at it from a little different aspect tonight, and it's more why I've decided to go and why I decided even to be part of this team. And I know you may be thinking, because it already has been said to me today, why is he up there? I thought it was the young people going. I thought maybe it would be a young person giving a report. Well, you asked Samuel at the end of the meeting why I'm here. But Samuel outlined last night some of the aims and the expectations of the proposed trip, of what we plan to do. And as I said, I want to share tonight just a little of how we came to the decision to join and be part of this team. As was mentioned, as I said, our sister McNora McAfee came to our youth fellowship just a little time ago, and the idea of sending a team to Uganda was set before us, and the seed was sown. Yet, I will confess tonight, my first reaction was not, where do I sign up? My first reaction was not, get me on that plane, I'll go. And immediately into my head came all the reasons, came a list of things of why I couldn't go, of all the things that would prohibit me from going. One, I'm too old, I'm not a young person anymore, it's a young people's trip, why would I be going? Second, well, creepy crawlies, furry friends, so on. Couldn't take time off work, couldn't afford to take time off work. I haven't any particular gift or talent that could be used, that could be of any benefit to this team. All these different things began to come into my head. And even thinking about it, these things may apply even to be in your head, even as we think of missionary work, when we think of God's service in general. It could be there's an appeal for children's workers, Sunday school teachers, those to help out in any aspect of the work. And the first thing that we automatically do is start to list all the things and the reasons why we can't do it. Yet, with all these things going through my head, and with all these reasons, I'm thankful to God tonight that His speaking voice was much louder than my voice. And He began to show me the reasons of why I should go, of why I should put my name down to be part of this team. And one of the main reasons, one of the biggest challenges that God set before me, that I couldn't stand before the youth fellowship on a Friday night. I couldn't stand before youth council meetings. I couldn't stand before whatever the Lord would have me to do and challenge young people about His service, challenge young people about going on the different teams. If I wasn't willing to go myself, it's very easy to say, you need to go on that, it would be good for you to do this. Oh, but that's not for me. I couldn't do that, no. Go you on ahead, the Lord bless you, but I'll stay at home. And that really spoke to me, and the Lord challenged me about that. I couldn't challenge others about going on this team if I wasn't willing to go myself. And as I said, how often it can be the case, even when we think of work in general, practical things, when there's something needing done, unfortunately I see this too often at work, when there's something needing done, all of a sudden everybody becomes people that I like to call recommenders. Oh, I recommend him, he'll do it. Oh, that person over there, they're the boy for the job. And all of a sudden we can think of someone else who's suitable to go, but we never think of ourselves. And why is it that we never put our hand up and say, well, I'll go, I'll do the job that is needed to be done? And you know, God calls us in the book of James And the chapter 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." And God made me realise that I need to be a doer of his word. Not one that recommends somebody else, not one that challenges our young people to go, not one to say, "I think you'd be greatly blessed in this team." Not one that recommends someone else or someone who is a hearer of his word only. But God challenged me to be a doer of his word. And I'm sure many of us here tonight, if not all of us, have heard God's word to us in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And as we've heard God's word, I wonder tonight, as I asked myself at that time when the challenge was put forth to us, "Would you go to Uganda?" I wonder tonight, would you even ask yourself, are you a doer of his word? Or are you just a hearer as I want it to be, just a hearer of his word? And I trust that God would even make us all doers of his word, and that we may be willing to do a work for him, no matter what it may be, no matter if it's within your own church, no matter if it's going to Uganda as part of a team, whether it's to be a witness in front of your work colleagues, no matter what it is, that God would even challenge us to be a doer of his word. And no matter what the task would be, that we would find ourselves willing to do so and not just recommend somebody else. The other main reason, I suppose there are a few, but there's only really two I want to deal with tonight. And I suppose the other reason which helped me in my decision as to why I would agree to go as part of a team to Uganda, and I guess for me it was a much more personal reason. There are many here tonight who maybe don't know me. There are many here tonight who maybe do know me but don't realise maybe just some of the circumstances. But it was roughly about 18 months ago, as a family, we were plunged into quite sad times. And we had the sudden and the tragic passing of a very dear uncle. And in the period of time that followed that, and even to this day, I will confess, I struggled with guilt, with shame, as I often ask myself the question, when did I ever take time to witness to my uncle? When did I ever take time to share his need of a saviour? The same saviour who plucked me from my sins. When did I ever take the time to witness to him? And yes, we maybe didn't see each other for a period of time. We maybe didn't see each other for a number of months. But we still seen each other. There still were opportunities. But did I ever tell him of his need of a saviour? And this, as I said, since that time and even to this day, greatly challenges me. And I guess getting caught up with work life, social life, and we often get caught up with how busy church life can be. Yet I had forgotten of the life that God had saved me from, and from the life that he had called me to, and that was to be a witness for him. And I guess leading in the aftermath of those circumstances, I know now that all things happen for a reason. God had his purpose and his plan in it. And I remember praying to God after that time that from then on, that he would indeed grant me the grace and the mercy to allow me to be a witness for him, not only to my family members, but to those I work with, to those in the youth fellowship, to those, if the opportunity presented itself, even in the foreign land, just wherever God would have me to be, that he would allow me to be a witness for him. And I'm thankful that God gave me that challenge. And again, for that reason, it's why I feel that it's important that I should even offer myself to go as part of this team. Just what I'm going to be asked to do, I don't know. I think I'm better not knowing what Mr. Park and Samuel has lined up for us. I think we're maybe better just finding out when we get there. But nonetheless, I'm glad the Lord has challenged me even to give myself, even to be as part of that team. I'm thankful to God that a few years ago now, quite a number of years ago now, when I thought about it today, that God gave me an opportunity even to be a part of a team through Vision for Kids that went to Kenya. And I often struggle to even think back what I did last week, and never mind to think back a few years. But from that trip, there were experiences gained and circumstances that arose in that trip that I'll never forget, no matter to the day that I die. Not only was the experiences of witnessing the foreign field and getting to see firsthand just the work that our missionaries are involved in, but most importantly, I remember the great sense of God's presence and the blessing that was felt during that time. And I would even encourage tonight that if there are still some young people, and I know that there are because we're constantly just putting a little hand on the shoulder and asking, have you thought any more about it? But even from my own experiences of being away, the Lord moved in a mighty way that time. And these are things that I will never forget. Even as we prepare to head away at the end of June, could I please ask tonight that you would indeed pray for our young people, those that are not so young that are going, and I'll include Mr. Park and Samuel in that one, those who are not so young, that you would indeed pray for us as the plans and preparations are finalised, are put into place, even as we come towards the end of June. And pray that God indeed would be felt and experienced not only as a team but personally, and a real sense of God's presence and blessing would be felt before, during and after the entire trip. And could I also ask tonight that you would pray for those that maybe are having some doubts, they have fears, they have anxieties, they have worries. Those that have said they're going, those who have as of yet not just fully committed to going, could you pray for them? Pray for those that maybe have, as I said, those fears, those worries, and it may just be hindering them from coming forward and putting their name down to say that I'm willing to go and I'm willing to be part of this team. May God help us tonight to know that we are not alone in this proposed trip or in his work, no matter what it is that we're called to do. And I often quote it, I make no apology for it, but it is one of my favourite verses in Scripture, and I trust that even throughout the trip that God will even make it even ever real to us. It's found in Joshua chapter 1, the verse 5, and there it says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Thank you.
For 2019, It is planned to send a 40-foot container by the help of God to a little village situated on the banks of the River Danube called Moldovanoa. 3 years ago, we had been asked by our sister Lorena to do a vocational Bible school with the poor children in this little village where she had been brought up in communist times. We work alongside Maranatha Baptist Church with their local pastor Sabine and his wife and congregation. 4 years ago, in 2015, we did a similar project. We sent a 40-foot container to Deborah House. The container was purchased, painted, and insulated. Our congregation worked hard, coming together as a team, young and old. Clothes, shoes, beds, mattresses, blankets, machinery, kitchen utensils, plastic for greenhouses. All these kinds of things were sent in. The work nights were not only times of labour, but fun and fellowship. Folks travelled from all over Northern Ireland to make contributions. It was an amazing time with an incredible response. Jonathan McCauley and I travelled over to Deborah House to officially hand over the container. The response was so phenomenal, we ended up sending 3 containers. This year's project is to help the poor families of Moldovanoa connected to the church, to provide clothes, shoes and food to these families, working especially with the Roma or the Gypsy community. Angel School is run by the church and provides an education for over 100 children who attend, many from very poor and needy backgrounds. We hope to help them with some equipment as the Lord provides. We ask Pastor Sabine to make a wish list. He may not be able to supply all the items, but at least the people have the opportunity to respond and give what they can. We have already sent out small consignments of clothes and shoes. It was a personal joy for my wife Susan and I to travel there whilst on holiday and distribute the clothes. We were presented by a need for shoes. Some of the kids had no shoes, some wore ones that were sizes too big. Others needed suitable shoes for school. We made an appeal for 50 pairs. There was an unbelievable response. Over 250 pairs came in. A few weeks later, Robert McCauley and I travelled out for some meetings and gave out the shoes at the same time to the Roma families. It was most rewarding. We have Pastor Sabine's wish list, which we are making available. Some of these items are to help the very poor and Roma families with everyday practical things: clothes, shoes, boots for winter time, beds and mattresses, blankets. Equipment is needed for the school, and we want to help there too. Then the pastor is moving to a different house that needs a heating system. We want to be able to help there also, if possible. Helping in a practical way is very biblical. It is love in action. You can't read the words of the Savior in Matthew 25 without being challenged by what he had to say. When saw we thee hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick or in prison, and ministered unto thee? Well, the Lord says on that great day, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. However, our love and action is aimed at a greater good, and that's the gospel. It is our chief desire to win these families to Christ. Many times we've stood among them when we've gone out with our practical help, and we have given to them the gospel, a message of Christ, with a burden in our heart that they might be reached and brought to know Him. We invite you to do what you can to help in a practical way and show our Christianity to those in the land of Romania.
Thank you to those who took part, to Joanne for the report. Your stay in Northern Ireland, I suppose, is limited back in February time, March. So we wish you well in these final few weeks. and for Ryan. Ryan, you are young. You know, you really are. Don't be getting to think that you're too old to go on a mission trip. This could be the start of great things for you in the years to come. And you don't know what you're going to do. We're putting you in charge of the furry friends over there. You know, you can get furry friends here, right here in Northern Ireland. We know that this past week. And there's a story to tell, but I'm not going to tell it tonight, because my wife would just be embarrassed about it. But over there, they're much bigger. Isn't that right, Noreen? And so you'll be able to sort them out for us, Ryan. So give you that special assignment. Thank you to the choirs for taking part, to the youth choir, to the Hebron choir. As we said last night, Sylvia took on well. She's the choir director. Wasn't able to be with us last night or tonight this weekend. Ivor's here, so you bring greetings, please, to Sylvia. Tell her we're thinking about her. Continue to pray for her, that she'll be very well very soon. The Lord's hand will be upon her. I want to welcome you to the meeting tonight in the Lord's great name. Those that have come out, it's Saturday night. It's not always the best night for a service, but the Lord has been gracious to us year by year at these missionary weekends, and gives us a good number on a Saturday night to come and hear the various reports and to listen to the challenge from God's Word. We have some missionary council representatives, mission board representatives. We have the chairman of the mission board with us tonight, and we welcome him and his wife. And missionaries taking part this weekend, of course, Joanne, Noreen, Christina's back with us tonight. And the Pattersons are visiting with us. Good to have them. And our sister, Miss Margaret Russell, also able to get last evening and tonight. And the Reverend and Mrs. Kelly, who were for many years missionaries in Uganda. Good also to have George McConnell. We mentioned last night how intimately involved George has been in missionary work for decades. I think Margaret was a wee bit offended that I talked about her being on the mission field for decades, you know, because it made her feel very old, but she has been for decades on the mission field. And George has for longer been serving the Lord in missionary work. We want to thank him for those many, many years that he's given to the Missionary Council, to the Mission Board, and to the Presbytery, and all that he has done. He will know a little man by the name of Eusebio. Eusebio is one of the old saints of God in the work in Corticus Nuevas. And we heard just before we came into the meeting tonight that Eusebio has gone to be with the Lord. He wasn't well. He began to get weaker this past few days. And now he's gone to his eternal reward in glory. We think about his family over there in the land of Spain. Good to have the preacher tonight, Reverend Brown. Enjoyed the word last night. Looking forward to the message this evening and also tomorrow. We've been greatly blessed and encouraged in recent years, and especially last year when we think of the young people that are serving the Lord here. We have three students in Bible college, Josh, Alex and Johnny, and David and Rachel, who have done training and did 3 months in Kenya under the mission board just at the end of the year there, and are seeking out the will of God now for the future. So we are greatly encouraged by that. And good to have Eric Graham with us tonight. Eric, a few months ago, wasn't so well, but he is improving, he's getting better, and we're very glad he's back at the meetings again in the mission board, and also will be at the missionary council, God willing. Take upon your heart what you heard tonight. I know the challenge was given by both Joanne and Ryan, that you can go for a little time. Maybe God hasn't called you to be a missionary in the sense of going to another land and serving the Lord year by year for an extended period of time. But he does give opportunities for you to do a little bit of work. Sometimes it's on the home front, right here in Northern Ireland, across the border into the south, and other places throughout Europe and further afield if you go to Africa or other parts. And this is something you should pray about, even if it is just for a week or two in the summertime. And we are glad that young people are signing up to go on these trips. So there's a matter we just leave with you. The announcements are fairly short. There's nothing much more to mention except to say that this weekend is our annual Missionary Weekend Convention. We hear the reports and we support the works that we see. And so when we come to the offering just in a moment or two, we want you to give as the Lord enables you. The various works represented this weekend will be getting a contribution to support and sustain these works on the mission field. Thank you for your offering last night. It came to £2,600 thereabouts, Philip, and we thank you in the Lord's great name. Just to mention, there is this little card to do with what you saw tonight, the Container Project 2019 for Romania. There is the wish list that Pastor Zabin has also supplied. You can look at that also. And these recipe books, we did these a few years ago to raise money for Romania. And there's some left. They're on the table there as you leave tonight. And if you'd like to take one, leave a little contribution, that would be very appropriate. And we have some calendars, Nepal calendars 2019. And if you haven't got one of these, especially if you're a senior, take one tonight and pray month by month for the work in Nepal. Now let's sing together the offering hymn. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray far from the shepherd's fold away. If you're listening in tonight in sermon audio, we're always very glad to have you. And it is true that there are as many listening in to this weekend as come to the meetings physically here in the church building. So we trust that the Lord will bless you. The only disadvantage at this stage is you're not able to give your offering. But if you want to send it in, that's all right. Amen. Let's sing together, keeping our seats as we receive the offering, please. Sing the last verse. Can I thank the media team? There's a lot of work goes on behind the scenes, preparatory work that takes place even for weeks before as they prepare for this weekend. And obviously in the meetings, they're working hard there at the back and upstairs. So thank you in the Lord's name for all that you do in the media team. If Dr. Bill Woods is listening in tonight, he was listening in last night. He enjoyed the meeting. We want to welcome him and assure him of our continued prayers for him in his illness and the treatment that he's receiving, that the good hand of the Lord will be upon him and bless him and bring healing to his body. Let's stand for this final verse. Out in the desert, hear their cry. missionary weekends are organized for a number of reasons. We certainly want you to come and be challenged by what you hear. It's good to hear the reports, and that is very biblical too. When missionaries went out and came back, they reported what the Lord had done. And we are very glad to listen to these reports so that we can pray more intelligently for our missionary work. We also hope that these missionary weekends will just raise the bar that little bit of our eyesight as we get our vision on the great work of the Great Commission, that the Lord will burden our hearts more and more to see the gospel going into all the world. We do that as we pray for our missionaries, as we hold the ropes at home. We do it as we give of our finances so that they can be supported in all aspects of gospel work, whether that's the preaching or the radio work or ministry among the children or whatever the Lord opens up by way of spreading the gospel. This work then is done, and we thank God for that. And it's also our prayer that you will catch the fire yourself and you'll become more involved in missionary service in whatever way you can. That might mean keeping in contact with a missionary, encourage them on the mission field, or it might mean going for a week or two, as has been suggested, and just spending a little time there and seeing the mission field firsthand. We trust and pray that God will call young people during these weekends. And he has done, and he's burdened hearts, and he's shown them the great work of the gospel. And as our brother, the Reverend Brown, comes now to preach, it is our earnest prayer that God will touch all of our hearts, and in a special way, he will touch some hearts who will be led of God to go into full-time service in that aspect of missionary service in some land, reaching some nation with the glorious gospel. Reverend Brown, you're welcome to Ballymoney tonight, to Hebron. We pray for you as you take up the word and bring the challenge.
Well, if you would tonight, please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Now, that may cause you to break out in a bit of a cold sweat. Where is Nehemiah? Well, you know where Samuel and Kings and Chronicles is. You then have Ezra and you have Nehemiah. The Reverend Park has basically preached my sermon for me there now. Everything I want to say, he's done it in a minute. That was very impressive, brother, I have to say. And I see that as genuine confirmation, because in his opening prayer, he prayed over this message without knowing it. And again, tonight, and I believe we do have the Lord's word this evening, and it's particularly pointed at all of you who will remain at home. How we can serve the Lord within the remit of the Great Commission, but also to challenge maybe some tonight to leave all and go. We often speak about meetings dovetailing together, and we're encouraged when that is the case. Nehemiah chapter 1. We trust you have found it. Let's read from the verse number 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Shislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Now, Nehemiah was in Babylon, considerable distance away from these brothers and sisters who were laboring for the Lord back in Jerusalem. Verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnants that are left of the captivity, there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Amen. I want to end the reading there at the fourth verse. And perhaps at your leisure, perhaps this evening or tomorrow, you can read the rest of that chapter when time permits. Let's have a word of prayer together. And let's seek the Lord. Almighty God, we bow before you, Lord, tonight. We thank you, Lord, as they come to our mind, those wonderful words often repeated in Scripture, those simple words, through Christ. We rejoice that mercy comes from God to us through Christ. We rejoice that kindness and love comes from God through Christ to us. We want to thank you, Lord, for everything that we receive. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you would be pleased to bless us again through Christ. That, Lord, our minds and our hearts would be arrested by the truth of your word. And that the Spirit of God would indeed change us and move us. O Lord, may we leave a people greatly burdened for the work of God across the world. And may we be a praying people like Nehemiah. As our brother said here just last night, Lord, it's an awful thing if the people at home are left unaffected by what happens in the mission field. Lord, help us tonight. Stir our souls. Save us from being hard-hearted, cold and callous, but Lord, to be concerned for your work, for your glory amongst the nations, and for the souls of the multitudes, and for our missionaries who labor there. Do us good tonight. Grant help in the pulpit and in the pew. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. One of the greatest problems in global missions, one of the greatest problems in evangelizing the whole work, isn't actually on the mission field. One of the greatest problems to missionary work can often be found here at home. Now, the Reverend Park, who must have been reading my notes yesterday, put it here. It's when the people of God are unaffected by what they hear and what they know is happening across the world somewhere else. It's when we become not all that bothered anymore. Not all that burden to labor and call upon God. When we hear of troubles and difficulties, we don't weep with them that weep across the world. We don't rejoice with them that rejoice on the mission field. We become just careless. It's when we hear a report, or you receive perhaps a prayer letter, and yet you do nothing in response. You hear the report, you read the letter, and when you put the letter down or you leave the church, that's it. Nothing more is done. You've become cold and careless. We continue on after hearing perhaps a report of trouble. We continue on attending our comfortable churches. We proceed to enjoy fellowship or friendship in our communities. We continue to enjoy our luxuries while forgetting those who are in dire difficulties. Nothing wrong with comfortable churches. It's a blessing to give God thanks for. Nothing wrong with our communities. Nothing wrong with luxuries which we can enjoy. The problem is when we're only interested in our own comforts and in our own enjoyments, and we're not that bothered about other people's difficulties, trials, and troubles. You see, you may hear a report, you may read a prayer letter, and when you put the prayer letter down, or you leave the church after hearing the report, your life goes on as usual. You get into your car, you drive home, you go to your job, you have your own problems, and all of a sudden all of those things kind of sweep in, and you forget the difficulties of a brother and sister, a missionary somewhere else around the world. That's just the reality. But that wasn't the case with our late brother Nehemiah. Look what it says here again in verse 3. Nehemiah is in Babylon. He is serving the king there. And a man comes who has been in Jerusalem and comes to give Nehemiah a report, because Nehemiah has a keen interest in the work that is going on afar. A work for God. He wants to know. And in verse 3, the man comes and says, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." There's great problems. The advancement of the work is not going on as they wanted to see. There's persecution. There's problems. And how does Nehemiah respond? Look at verse 4. "And it came to pass," he says, "when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned, not for 10 minutes, but certain days, and fasted." He was put off his food and prayed before the God of heaven for my brothers and sisters who were laboring afar off. Now, Nehemiah, he could continue after hearing that news to worship God himself the way he had been doing. He could continue in his affluent community in which he was moving. He still had all his luxuries as he was the king's cupbearer. But here's the thing. Those luxuries, that community of which he was a part of, that wasn't where his heart was. His heart was in Jerusalem. His heart was for the work of God. His heart was on the kingdom of God. And when he heard that the development of the work of God was struggling, the man went to bits. He wasn't worried about his luxuries. He wasn't worried about his community. He was completely distracted. He had no desire to eat. He needed to pray. He wept and he mourned and he fasted. And I find that very challenging. For how often do we hear reports from across the world, yet it barely affects us? I think on the mainland, not too far away, in Wales, if I understand it right, we had 5 works a few years ago. 5 places where Christ was being faithfully preached. Today we have 1. The others have closed. Who wept here when those works were closing? What about Scotland? Very similar picture. We once had 5 churches in Scotland. Now we have 3, and there are great struggles there. Did we weep when those works closed? I take that as a personal challenge myself. Did we care when those works closed? Yes. Yes, we did. I have no doubt. As I relay to you those 2 particular areas on the mainland, that you do care, that you are gutted. We don't like to hear that. And no doubt when you heard of those works closing,
you cared. But did we care enough to pray? Did we care enough to go and wrestle with God? Lord, turn this around. That's what I want to leave here tonight or consider with you. Praying for those who are in difficulties far away from our own shores. I said last night I wanted to mention something of the persecuted church, and I want to do so tonight. I feel the Lord would have us to. And just consider brothers and sisters around the world this evening who are in prison. Men tore away from their families. I recall hearing of one man. I'm not sure if he's still dead or if he's alive or dead. I don't know. But he was bearing a witness for Christ. Him and his family, and they were worshipping the Lord, and the authorities come in to his home. And they dragged him away. Placed him in prison where he was desperately treated for a long time. Could have been 4 years. Beaten, malnutrition, all the rest of it. And somebody said to him, you know, why do you keep doing this? And the answer was, Christ died for me. And when the authorities saw that they would not break him, they wanted him to deny his Savior. But he wouldn't do it. And when they saw that he was so firm in his faith, they thought, we're going to try a different approach here. We're going to give him the taste of freedom now and again to break him down. And so they let him go. They let him out for 5 days, and his family embraced him. And his son took him and rejoiced in his father and back home. And 5 days later, the authorities came in the same fashion and treated that man with great cruelty and pulled him out of the house. And his son ran after him, pleading with the authorities to leave his father alone. That man was taken to prison again. That happened once, twice. And I'm not sure now where that man is, alive or with Christ. Yet we sit here today, well, clothed, our bellies full. We're so privileged. Yet so few tears. And I confess as well, this speaks to me for sure. Let me give you just some statistics from around the world. There are books out there that give detailed descriptions of the persecuted church, and some helpful, some very helpful. There's one called Project World that helps you to pray through the whole world every year. And they list the 5 most difficult places to be a Christian in the world. The first one is North Korea, and then Somalia, and then Afghanistan, and then Pakistan. Then you have Syria, and you have Iraq there as well. That's 6 of them. Those are the most difficult places in the world to be Christian. Let me give you a little insight as to what happens there. In North Korea, North Korea is propped up financially by China and South Korea. They financially help them. It's a population of 25 million. There's only one acceptable religion there, and it's called Kim-Sungism. It's the worship of their leader. The people are kept relatively in ignorance of the outside world and forcibly indoctrinated by all kinds of bizarre doctrines about their dear leader, as he is called. Since 1994, we understand that 3 million people have died of starvation. Little aid, little help, little compassion from their leaders. North Korea was the birthplace of the Korean revival. But after that revival, war broke out. Many Christians had to flee. Many of them were martyred and churches were burned. Currently, today, it is said there are tens of thousands, currently, I mean now, tens of thousands, and I'm giving you a moderate number compared to some estimations, but tens of thousands of Christians who are found in labor camps. They don't have their freedom, but stuck in labor camps. And there many will die. How do you pray for someone like that? How do we're so far detached from that kind of difficulty. How do we pray for that? Well, you can pray for the radio ministry there. There are surrounding countries where there are gospel broadcasts, and some of them can be received there in North Korea, that God would bless there. The distribution of Bibles and tracts, there are ways and means of getting them in. Christians from China can get access because their country supports them. There's ways in to get the gospel there. Pray for them, of course. What about Korean refugees who leave the country? Again, opportunities to witness. The second on the list there was Somalia. Somalia is different again. Figures there would estimate that in every 10,000, you will only find one Christian. And by the way, when I say Christian, that's Christian in the broadest sense of the word. Are they born again believers? I don't know. But let's just take for argument's sake, this is accurate. One in every 10,000 know Christ and love the Lord and are ready for heaven. There's 15 million people live in Somalia. Only one in every 10,000 know Christ. It's a haven for smugglers, bandits, pirates, terrorists. The aggressive Islamic government makes it hard to send in aid. Therefore, it's hard even to get Bibles and good literature in there. It's said the abuse of women and children is horrendous in Somalia. And it's amongst the highest, it is the highest actually, infant mortality rate in the whole world. How do we pray that God would work those who are in power and in government to relax laws and permit the gospel in some way to break into that place of great darkness and devilish activity? Can I mention just quickly China? China wasn't even on that list that I gave you at the beginning of the five or six most difficult places in the world to be a Christian. But certainly China has difficulties for sure. Before 1978, all religion was driven underground. And so it was hard perhaps just to trace exactly how big the church was. But of late, there is a little bit of a relaxing. There's a little bit of an opening. And then if you went to China, there is Chinese Christian churches that are run by the government. And some of the Christians there view it as we here in the UK view the churches, they were government run. Those churches that you'll maybe see of in the news and read of, they're said to be churches run by the government. And therein lies the problem. Christ is head of the church. That's what Christ says goes. But some of the Christians feel there that church is run by the government. It's what the government says goes. And they feel they can't. And that's the biggest problem in China. The government wants to run everything. And if it's not run by the government, well then, it's outlawed. And that's why so many Christians struggle there. Because they want to meet in a way they believe is most biblical. They want to worship Christ. And yet, the government apparently has recognized that Christianity may be a help to their country. The government have said that it may combat corruption. It may instill morals. It may help with a materialistic society. It may bring charitable help to those who are in need. So maybe there is a softening there. We will continue to pray for those who live for Christ and whom Christ has saved, because the government themselves have said there could be 50 million Christians throughout China. That's their estimate. Could be more, could be less. One of the brethren at the week of prayer mentioned a family from his church. They have
It's a couple who attend his church. One of those men has a brother over in Indonesia. And in the past few weeks, they were worshipping the Lord. And while they're worshipping the Lord, there were a group of men came in, and they said, "Get out of the building immediately. We will burn your church now. And if you do not leave, we will burn you with it." And so they had to leave, and the church indeed was burned. Men and women, we become so used to our safety and security, we forget persecution is very real out there. Men and women who are our brothers and sisters in Christ are not as blessed, maybe as fortunate as we are, having our religious liberties and freedoms. To help you pray furthermore for those who are in persecution, please turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. And note what Jeremiah says here in the chapter 15. Chapter 15 and the verse 15. Chapter 15, the verse 15. Jeremiah says, "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors." Here's Jeremiah. He's a man of God, and his life has been given over to the Lord to proclaim the truth that there is a God who is Jehovah, that the people must repent and put their trust in this great God. But as he does so, there are many who were turned against him. And in his 30-odd years of ministry at this point, there were many who would have undoubtedly been called his enemies. And as he is suffering, and Jeremiah suffered for sure, he suffered persecution. There is no doubt about that in the life of Jeremiah. Look how a persecuted saint prays. And this will help you pray for those who are persecuted. In verse 15, he says, "O Lord, thou knowest." Lord, you know all that's going on. You know my struggles and my difficulties. As the Hebron choir were singing, the Lord knows, and we rejoice in this. Thou knowest what I need. You and I, the most of us here anyway, I'm sure, know very little of what it is to suffer persecution, as in the list that I've just mentioned there. We know very little of the difficulties in losing loved ones and being threatened and but I rejoice I can sit down and pray, Lord, you do know. Thou knowest what's going on there. You know the troubles, the anxieties, the fear, the wrenching that some of your children are going through. But then what Jeremiah prays is sad to read. Because look what he says in verse 15. "O Lord, thou knowest." Lord, you know everything. You know me, you know my circumstances. He goes on then to say, "Remember me. Remember me." Now he just said, "Lord, you know everything." So why is he telling the Lord, "Don't forget about me"? You see, it's almost like his phraseology doesn't match his theology. He says, "Lord, you know everything." Well then, why would he need to be reminded of anything? What Jeremiah is doing here, I believe, as he's simply pouring out his heart, he's just saying how he feels. He knows God hasn't forgotten him. He knows the Lord loves him. But he feels like he's forgotten about. There's nothing worse than feeling forgotten about. As if no one cares about you. As if no one remembers you. As if, you know, if you went away, no one would even notice. I feel that's what Jeremiah is praying here. Lord, remember me. Maybe you're here tonight, you know what it feels like to feel forgotten. Well, the Lord does know. And certainly our brothers and sisters around the world may often feel like that when they sit in prison, not a soul near them that loves them or cares for them. Then Jeremiah goes on O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me. And that's a call for assistance. That's like someone in the battle, and you're getting it tight, you're getting it difficult, and you call for the cavalry to come in. And that's what he's praying. Lord, visit me. Lord, arrive and change this situation. And then he says, revenge me of my persecutors. And when he says revenge me, this is not a man who's twisted and his pride has been popped and he wants the Lord to rebuke someone. No, this is a man who's standing for Christ. He's preaching the truth and he can't do it because he's being hindered, and he's praying for the Lord, deal with my persecutors that I may continue to enjoy the privilege of proclaiming the truth. That's how to pray for those around the world who are very much in the depths of persecution. Now, I'm thankful tonight that most of our missionaries from our denomination are not suffering under persecution at present, but there are concerns there, and I'm obviously not going to even give any details. But you do understand that there are needs out there, and we do get worried when we see governments changing plans and bringing in things that make the spread of the gospel less helpful. You continue to pray, even for our own missionaries, that the Lord gives them freedom to continue their work of spreading the gospel for the glory of God. The persecution, of course, isn't the only problem on the mission field. There's plenty of other ones that we could pray over. Sickness and ill health. We could pray, Lord, keep our missionaries safe. Give them health and strength. Of course, we are all prone to sickness. We are all prone to death. We will all die. Yet we pray, O Lord, preserve the strength of our missionaries that they may not be hindered in doing the work of God. The devil is there, hardening hearts the same way as he does here and everywhere else in the world. We pray against the devil's advancements in blinding and deceiving. We can pray against discouragement. For missionaries often will be discouraged, as we can be discouraged here at home. You labor and labor and maybe you don't see much. Oh, that God would encourage our missionaries who may even feel isolated, that the Lord would encourage them and strengthen them. Lack of personnel. That the Lord would continue to send workers to go and assist those who are laboring. As I was listening to our sister Joanne there, I thought about the robbery not all that long ago that happened there. There's always security concerns, technical problems. There are problems, men and women on the mission field, that we will hear of, and problems that we'll never hear of. The question is, will we remain unaffected? When we consider those who are persecuted, those who have problems, will we be unaffected and just go on our merry way, not laboring, not doing what we can for the glory of God and for their assistance? I want to leave, just in these closing moments, three possible responses. Three possible responses. When we hear a report, when we hear of a difficulty, when we hear a problem, how should we deal with it? The first thing is do what Nehemiah did. If you go back to the book of Nehemiah there, what was the first thing Nehemiah did? He heard the problem and he went to pray. Now Nehemiah there was driven to pray out of a great burden for the work. He didn't just decide, well, I better do something. I'll pray. Not at all. He's brokenhearted. His heart was in the work of God. And truth being told, if you love Christ, the more you love Christ and the more you love the work of God, the more affected you will be when you hear a report which isn't maybe as good as you would like it to be. And that will drive you to prayer. And so when we hear reports that are troubling and discouraging, we ought to go to the Lord and pray first of all for ourselves. Lord, break my hard heart. Help me to mourn and weep. Help me to be soft when I hear. Help me have a soft heart when I hear of such difficulties. So the first one is pray. The second one is encourage. To encourage our missionaries. You might not be able to go, but we can encourage them. I'm going to read a verse here. It's in 1 Corinthians. It's only one verse. I'll read it with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The verse 17 says here, Paul is a missionary. And he says, I am glad. Here's a missionary. And he's being encouraged. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit. There's a missionary. And he says he is glad of the coming of these other saints. And he is refreshed by them. The idea of the language there is he's recovered. He has strengthened. He's a new man after these brothers and sisters just took the time to come alongside him. And so we should encourage our missionaries. If we can. Think about the prayer letters they send. You can go on to our mission board website and you can select the option there to receive prayer letters for our missionaries. Do so. And get those prayer letters and read them. And if you read them, you'll be able to pray and be part of the work of those missionaries. Receive them, even respond to them. Encourage our missionaries on the field. Not only by receiving their prayer letters and maybe even responding to them, but by financially supporting them. You know, when a missionary comes to your church, they have their little prayer card there. And on that card, there is the option to regularly give to that missionary. A wee covenant slip. You can give even a small sum whenever you can regularly to support the missionaries. It's going to encourage them. When someone is financially sacrificing for them to continue with their work. And so you can have that correspondence with their letters. You can support them financially. Maybe you can go and visit them. You can actually take that, as we said last night, that 2% of your year and just go and come alongside them. Now, just a word of maybe caution there as well. Don't go to a missionary and just crash out in their living room so that they have to feed you and tend to you. They might be more glad to see you go. No. Go to serve them. Go with the mindset for that week. I'm going to do what I can to encourage that missionary. Just come alongside them. Spend time with them. Help them in whatever way I can. So we can pray for our missionaries. We can encourage them. After I finish, I have one more thing to say, but after I finish, we're going to sing a hymn. And the hymn says, so send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown. A lot of difficulties there. And a missionary must go to the mission field recognizing that some of these things are a genuine possibility. That hymn very much is for the missionary, so send I you to do this, and you may suffer as a result. But, men and women, as the people at home, it is our duty before God to alleviate our missionaries of as many difficulties as possible. Our missionaries should not go unloved. They should know that they are greatly loved by us, by their brothers and sisters at home. We will not forget them. They should not be left unknown. Verse 5 says to them, they may suffer loneliness.
No, we seek to alleviate all the difficulties that we possibly can. And so we pray for them, like Jeremiah, like Nehemiah. We encourage them. The third and final thing then is what Nehemiah went on to do. He didn't just pray for them. He actually went. He became a missionary himself. If you go with me to Nehemiah chapter 2 in the verse 5. Nehemiah 2 in the verse 5. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou would send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And so we heard how the missionaries were struggling, and God has stirred his soul. And not only does he pray, but now he actually goes himself to do the work alongside the others who were struggling, who were being persecuted. And God used Nehemiah. I wonder again tonight, is that how the Lord's leading you? Not just to pray for the missionaries, not just to encourage them, but to go and to join with them, strengthen their hands with your labor. But just in closing tonight, whatever you do, do not be unaffected by what you hear from the foreign field. In fact, don't be unaffected by what you hear from your brother or sister at home, or your neighboring church, or the mainland, or further afield. We ought to be those who bear one another's burdens, no matter where we are in the world. But sometimes our missionaries are far away, and therefore easier perhaps to forget them. But these are our brothers and sisters in Christ who have left all to serve God. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ who, well, are bought by the blood of the Savior. And the Savior loved them enough to die for them, so surely we should be praying and supporting them. One last verse. It's Galatians chapter 6 and the verse 10. I suppose it summarizes everything I've said. It says in Galatians 6 and the verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As we have opportunity, let's do what we can to help and support others, especially those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Nehemiah did it. He's a great challenge to me. And I trust he is to you as well. Reverend Park.
And for his servant who brought it, we turn to our closing hymn of challenge. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing, so send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self-will resign, to labor long in love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine. Having quoted verses 1 and 2, we're going to stand and sing from verse 3. Let's sing the words. Just in a moment, our clerk of session, Phil Moffat, will close in prayer, pronounce the benediction, give thanks for the food. Do remember what you've heard tonight, the reports that you've listened to. Remember the word of God. Remember to pray. Pray for these missionaries that you've listened to over the weekend. Pray for those that have been on the mission field a long time and for others that are just starting out. Pray for those that are involved in the missionary work here at home. And for the Mission Board, Missionary Council, our sister Glenda, who's here tonight, who labours in the office, do remember them often before God. And do remember to encourage our missionaries. And if God lays it upon your heart, go. That's the summary of the Great Commission. Go. Go ye. Don't be saying, here am I, send him. But here am I, send me. May you go at God's command. We can help you. We're here. Brother Brown, myself, other ministers, the chairman of the board, feel free to come and speak to us. If the Lord has touched your heart and you need help, you need encouragement, you need guidance, that's why we're here. Brother Phil.
So send I you to bear my cross with patience, then one day with joy to lay it down, to hear my voice, well done, my faithful servant. Come share my throne, my kingdom, and my crown. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy word to our hearts and souls this evening. We thank thee, Lord, for the challenge that has been placed forth. So often, Lord, as we come before thee, we pray that thou wilt bless what we are doing. Instead of asking that we would do what thou art blessing. And Lord, we long to be blessed of thee as a people. We long to be in the center of God's will and God's plan and God's purpose. And so, Lord, we thank thee for the challenge to our hearts and souls this evening. We think of one of old who once said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it begs the question this evening, who then? Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Oh, Father, we know that the fields are white already unto harvest, and we are to pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest would thrust forth laborers into his harvest. We pray that such might be the case this evening, that thou wilt stir the hearts and souls of young people who will seek to serve thee with not less than their all. Lord, we're very conscious of the charge to the visible church that we ought to pray, that we ought to encourage, that we ought to share, and yea, Lord, that we ought to go. And so, Lord, we thank thee for thy word to our hearts and souls. We thank thee for the faithfulness of thy servant this evening, and all those who are serving on the mission field, those who have left their home and loved ones and are serving thee in far off places. We pray that thou wilt bless them with all spiritual blessings in Christ. We thank thee for the food that is being prepared. We pray that thou wilt bless it to our bodily use and our fellowship together. Grant that thou wilt be prepared to bury thy word within our hearts, that we might not sin against thee, but that we might seek to serve thee with not less than our all. For we ask these things in the Saviour's precious and in his worthy name. Amen.
So the tea